The Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by our friends over at touringplans.com. They have trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. It's like packing a little insurance policy for your next Disney vacation, because they're going to keep you out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on that trip. Check them out today. Support the folks who support us over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1132 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And guys and gals, this is your last minute warning. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. So I'm telling you, if you waited this long, you're already paying like $79.99 for a dozen roses. You're just out of luck. But you know what? It's better that than the cold shoulder. So get on it. Listen to today's show. And, you know, while you're tuned in for some Disney talk, hit that Google. It's even too late for Amazon now. So hit that Google, find something for that person that you love, and have a great Valentine's Day tomorrow. And we know what you love all year, and that's Disney talk, and that's why we're here. So joining me today for a great trip report, we're headed down to New Orleans. I can't even say it right. Louisiana with Jennifer. Hey, welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how do you say Nolens? Is that how you say it? I'm trying to get it right here.
We say New Orleans.
Oh, okay. But who says Nolens? I've heard that said before.
I don't know.
All right.
Nobody down here really does. We all say New Orleans. We don't say New Orleans. Nolens is more, I don't know, maybe with our accents it sounds like that sometimes.
All right. Well, fair enough. Well, let's talk Disney. Let's don't talk New Orleans, even though I want to head down there someday and check it out. You guys headed down. You had a trip last October that was, again, affected by Hurricane Matthew. So let's go through it a little sequentially. So let's talk about the planning. How did you decide the time to go, and when, like, who traveled with you for this trip?
We decided to go in October because we thought the weather would be good. Ha ha. And we went with, it was our son and daughter's first trip. He was 3 at the time and she was 1. And we went with my mom and my sister, who is happens to have spina bifida and is in a wheelchair. So it was kind of a little bit of a crazy trip all around. 2 kids, a wheelchair, and a grandmother who does not like Disney World.
Wow. So, you're going in with a few challenges, at least considerations to think about in your planning. So how does that affect the planning? Because I know a lot of us, you know, I'm lucky. We don't have that many kids. You know, we don't even have like a family of 5. We can stay anywhere. We don't have to worry about much. So I would imagine there's a pretty intense planning, or at least, you know, thinking about how to accommodate everybody's needs.
Yeah, it was. We knew that we wanted to try to be on the monorail because it would be the easiest for my sister, who's in a wheelchair, to get on and off of, rather than having to have the bus unload the ramp and load the ramp back. So that kind of limited our choices a bit. So we initially were going to stay at the Contemporary, but when the discounts came out, we actually had a better rate at the Grand Floridian. So we were super excited about getting to stay there.
Okay, so tell me about that, because the Contemporary to the Grand Floridian, two very different vibes, in my opinion. Haven't stayed at either. You know, I've been in them many times for meals and just meetups and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, some people kind of, I don't know if intimidated is the right word, but you feel a little uneasy maybe staying at the Grand Floridian. So now that you've been there, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, we liked it. The Grand Floridian was really nice. We were very lucky because my sister had originally booked a handicap accessible room at the Contemporary, and when the when the Disney issues are discounts, there weren't any handicap rooms available at the Contemporary on the discount. And we had a great travel agent. She was great about looking for other things, and she found that for the same price she was paying for the Contemporary, we could move her to the Grand Floridian and she could actually be upgraded to club level. So we got club level at the Grand Floridian for her, and then we had a room for myself, my husband, and our two kids that was regular Grand Floridian, but they were able to put us in the buildings right next to each other, and we were able to go back and forth to their club level. And the concierge club level at the Grand Floridian was amazing. I mean, the people there were fantastic. They were super, super accommodating, especially with the hurricane and the travel issues we ended up having with that. We were not in the main building, and I think the main building was a little intimidating, but the outskirt buildings, I mean, the rooms were amazing, and the people were all very, very nice. So
let me ask you a little more about the Grand Floridian, especially at club level here in just a second. But you said the rooms were really nice, and I picture, I don't know, you know, I've seen the insides of the rooms, and I know they're not exactly like this, but in my mind's eye, I'm seeing like grandma's guest bedroom. I mean, you know, and I don't know, that's what I see when I think of the rooms at the Grand Floridian. What was it like in practicality staying there? Was it up to date? And I mean, I know it's not like a contemporary.
Yeah, I mean, everything seemed really up to date. I mean, the beds were, you know, super like lush and soft. But I mean, there's a little bit of that Victorian like grandma type vibe, but I didn't find it too much because like the bed coverings weren't like floral. They were more like, you know, your typical hotel coverings, but with like the damask stripes on them, so they were more like stripes as opposed to really flowery. There was one really flowery, the sofa in the room actually folded down to a bed, and that was kind of a flowery sofa, but it wasn't too bad. And then we were lucky enough to be on the first floor, so we had a balcony that opened out and had a beautiful like garden outside of it.
Nice. All right, so one more question about this, and we'll hop on some of the other topics for the trip, but you mentioned club level. You got to take advantage of that. You know, I've got to do that just one time for one night at the beach club and just had a ball with it. It's really it's a hoot for somebody that's a Disney fan. So tell us about what you got to do. You know, what's the difference between standard and club level for you?
It was amazing. Like, I didn't think it was going to be nearly as awesome as it was. I mean, in the morning they'd have a nice little light, like snacks. They had snacks throughout the whole day. It was great with the kids because, like, we had done the meal plan because we didn't know. First of all, we didn't know Mary was going to really be on club level, and then we definitely didn't know that we were going to be able to go over there also. So we had done the meal plan, and we ended up having way too much food. But it was great because, like, if the kids wanted a little snack or something, that was great. And club level was especially great during the hurricane. But the concierge was even better because when we wanted to change reservations or something, she was, like, a whiz at getting that all done. I mean, she was fantastic. All of the ones there. Like, if you need to change your reservation, change your fast passes. I mean, a lot of changed really quickly with the hurricane. So, like, we were going to different parks than we had planned on going to, and they were able to get us into reservations at the last minute and find some cancellations. And so it was really just, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I've learned over the years working with guests and, you know, through some experiences myself that, you know, one of the things ever, I think most people think when they think club level, they're thinking, you know, I can get some drinks at the end of the night. I can get some, you know, nice warm snacks. I can get some chips. You know, a lot of times I'll have things like homemade cookies, you know, and stuff, you know, little desserts, which are awesome. But I think what you just mentioned is kind of the unsung hero of staying club level is that you basically have an advocate there that can get things done immediately. You know, we're all pretty good about getting stuff done, but they have access to things and can get things done even faster than the best of us, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they were, and the ones there, I mean, they were, I don't know what the other club level were like, because this was the first time we'd ever had a club level experience, but, I mean, they were just so on top of everything, and really just so knowledgeable, and it was almost like having your travel agent there with you.
Yes.
On the trip.
It totally is. That's exactly what
our travel agent was like shocked by.
I know, it's awesome. I mean, it's a shame. You know, I'm all for, I think we should pass a law saying travel agents must travel with each and every guest. You know, I'm all for that right now, so.
I'm sure ours would be too.
Let's make that happen. I promise I'll take care of any ADR you need. I'll get on it. So anyway, well, let's talk about the touring of the park. So you're there, Grand Floridian, got a great spot right there on the monorail. How do you guys go about touring the parks? Because you have, you know, you got the wheelchair, you got a larger group. How's it go seeing the parks?
We actually had a little bit of problems with the monorail. It was, out of the 7 days we were there, it only actually ran 3 of the days. They had some like mechanical difficulties just over and over again. So we ended up having to do a lot of bus stuff. And we were also lucky that we were close to the boat, so we could take the boat when the monorail was down. But we kind of focused with the younger kids on going to Magic Kingdom more and went a little more intense on that. We planned to do 1 day at each park. We ended up doing about 2.5 at Magic Kingdom, about a half a day at Epcot because it got kind of rained out. We did a whole day at Animal Kingdom and a half a day at Hollywood Studios also because it got rained out.
So you guys didn't focus on the Food and Wine Festival because that was going on while you guys were there, correct?
We tried so hard to focus on the Food and Wine Festival, but the storms from Matthew came in early, and we spent the first day at Magic Kingdom because we knew the kids would love it. The first night we went to the Not So Scary Halloween Park, but got there, checked in, and ran over to Magic Kingdom so we could go to Not So Scary with the kids, which was fantastic. The kids had a great time. Our son happens to be a huge fan of the Not So Scary parade. He had watched it on YouTube with my husband a lot, so we knew more than anything that we had to let him see that parade. And so we went, we rode a couple of rides, did a couple of shows, and then took him to see the parade. And they loved it. I mean, he thought it was the most awesome thing ever. And at this point, nobody really knew the hurricane was coming, so we planned the next day to go to Animal Kingdom. And we did that. And Animal Kingdom was great. We did the whole day. It was hot, as hot could be in October, which was crazy. But, and then we were planning to go to Food and Wine the next day, and the squalls came in, and I mean, it was like storming like crazy, and you couldn't get from one booth to the other. So we hit one booth.
No, you know what?
At Food and Wine, which is awful, because I wanted Food and Wine more than anything. That's my favorite part. Part of why we planned the October trip was so my husband and I could have a night or two on our own at Food and Wine after everybody went to bed.
That's what I was gonna say, because you were there like right in the heart of the festival there, and I was like, I didn't hear anything or see anything in an email about Food and Wine. Like, did I miss something?
Oh, it was so bad. It was so sad, because that's when we had always traveled before, was to go to Food and Wine before we had kids. So that's okay. We'll know if I can do Food and Wine next time.
That's what I was going to say. It always gives you an excuse to go next time. And that's what I'm using, because I was down there for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, and I don't think I went to but one or two booths myself just because we were so busy. We were running. And the thing was, like, when we're there with so many friends, we plan meals. So, you know, a lot of the times I was full. We're eating at, like, you know, Via Napoli or something, you know, bad planning. But, you know, hey, like you said, next time we're going to do it better.
That's part of what happened with the meal plan, too, is because you already had meals planned, so it was hard to. And we planned on using all our snack credits for Food and Wine that night. And then the rain was so bad that we're like, let's see where we can get a reservation. So we ended up getting a reservation at Nine Dragons and just going to eat there because we knew we could get out of the rain. And the meal was phenomenal.
Wow, that might be the first time that restaurant's ever been named here on the podcast. It only took 1,130 episodes. But you say it was, so tell us about it. That's interesting, seriously.
It was so good. I mean, everybody ordered, they loved. I mean, the food was fantastic. The service was great. And it was really, quite empty. I mean, it was very easy to run.
Interesting. Maybe I'll have to get that on my list again. I don't know. I've never eaten there. So interesting. So tell me about, like, okay, I know, like, for example, I still have this in my mind of marathon weekend, you know, a month back now that you know, the weather was at first not an issue, and then it started to kind of creep in that, you know, it might affect the weekend. And you guys were in that, you know, kind of same situation where you weren't expecting this. And then all of a sudden the news is probably starting to spread that the storm's growing, it's starting to go towards Orlando, it's a big hurricane. So how was that? What was the feel, you know, resort-wide, or what you sensed while you guys were there and how it turned out?
I think a lot of people who were able to leave ended up leaving early. And we actually had friends that we had run into while we were there and we were going to be there, and they had driven down. So they just, you know, canceled a day, and anyone that could drive out, I think, kind of left early. So it got really a lot more empty. We went to Hollywood Studios the day that they closed the parks, or where they were only open for part of the day. And Hollywood Studios was very empty. There were not as many lines for stuff, and it was very easy to get around and all. And then the squall started to pick up, and we headed back. But you could just tell that, like, the people that were there were the people that were kind of going to be stuck there, and everybody else that kind of left. And I know a lot of people kind of adjusted their, you know, travel one way or the other if they could. We had flown, so we didn't have the option really of driving. If we had that option, I think we probably would have left too, because, you know, you feel like you're wasting a trip a bit when you're there. But actually, we ended up having a pretty good time. I know lots of people have lots of trouble, but the Grand Floridian, if you've got to be stuck in a hurricane, the Grand Floridian club level is definitely the place to be stuck.
I can imagine that. There's worse places to be stuck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had movies for you to take, to go watch in the room, and they had food nonstop and drinks nonstop, and the staff all worked nonstop. And I know they probably would have much preferred to be home with their families, and they were there making everybody more comfortable. So, and then the Grand Floridian, the main, once we could get out, like, to the main building, they had characters come in, they had activities for the kids to do, the bars were all open.
Yeah, that's I think if you didn't have that, you might have hysteria. You know, as long as you got the bar open.
I think so. They only had one restaurant open. The night before, they opened the Gasparilla's Grill, and everybody could go get, like, plate meals to go, so you could have some food in the room. But all of their restaurants, except for 1900 Park Fair, have glass windows.
Yeah.
So they had to close them if the winds were above a certain amount.
Yeah.
So, but they did open 1900 Park Fair. They didn't have characters, but you were able to go eat dinner there. So, and they had lots of activities, like I said, so it really wasn't, it wasn't as awful as it could have been. And, like, you know, being from New Orleans, it was kind of more like a annoying tropical storm.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because, you know, you are, I shouldn't say comfortable with a hurricane, because I don't think anybody's comfortable with a hurricane situation, but it's not like, you know, somebody from Missouri or Kansas or Nebraska. I mean, you know, we hear hurricane and it's like, oh, man, because, you know, the only thing you see is on the Weather Channel. You got the guy standing in the eye of the hurricane, Category 5, you know, and that's what you think is going to happen, where in reality, you're pretty far inland, so you're not probably going to get hit by, you know, Category 4 or 5, and I guess you have the experience knowing we're in a pretty nice structure, we're in a pretty good spot, we can ride this out.
Yeah, it worked out really well for us. I mean, we were laughing, my mom was a miserable wreck the whole time, boy thing, because we were like, we've come from New Orleans to come have a hurricane. I mean, how does this happen? But
yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it happens. And I mean, a lot of people from New Orleans, that's where they evacuate people for hurricanes, is Disney World. So
interesting. Yeah, and never thought about that. Yeah. So I like the way you kicked it off, though, because you mentioned, you know, you guys got there and you went over and had a little Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party for your son and the whole family. But what are some other highlights from the parks while you guys were able to get out and have a good time?
My son's also a huge Star Wars fan. So meeting Kylo Ren was like it was awesome for him. And he even, like, knelt down to Kylo Ren, which is one of the best pictures I think we had in all of Disney World.
That's awesome.
I know. It was really great. We had an amazing meal at Sanaa, and we got to eat on the at one of the tables right by the windows. So we had the great Savannah view, and that bread service is just amazing.
Oh, now you just made us
all
hungry.
I could eat that every time I went.
Oh, I could eat that three times a day. Just give me the 9 dips and the bread.
God, it's good.
Oh, and I know people that right now are listening. Now, everybody that's been there and had the bread service is nodding right along with us. And everybody that hasn't been there seeing, this bread cannot be that good. It's bread. I'm telling you, it's got something in it. And there's different kinds and there's different dips. It is unbelievable. I mean, seriously, you can make a meal out of it every day.
I know, just the bread and the dips could make a meal. And then, you know, you've got a crane right outside your window or a giraffe walking by. Kids just loved it. And they got a kick out of the paint your own cookie for dessert.
Yeah,
was fantastic.
That is pretty cool. Now, are your kids pretty adventurous eaters, or are they kind of like my kids and just like chicken nuggets?
They can be pretty adventurous. It kind of just depends. At Disney, they weren't super adventurous. I mean, I don't know. I guess they'd be considered adventurous compared to, like, some kids. Like, I mean, our kids eat gumbo and red beans on, like, a weekly basis. But in Disney, there were lots of chicken nuggets and lots of macaroni and cheese for them.
Nice. So was there one place maybe that was their favorite during the trip?
Yeah, our son loved Hollywood and Vine. We went to do the character lunch with the Disney Junior characters. And he loved that. I think that was his favorite. We tried to do a lot of character breakfasts and character meals for them so that they could. Our daughter is, She was only about 18 months at the time, and she really loved the characters. I was really worried that she wouldn't be into them, but the first time she saw Mickey Mouse at the night of the Halloween party at the front by Town Center, I thought she was going to just die and go to heaven. Her mouth was just like aghast, and she just ran up and gave him the biggest hug. And she was like that with every character. So once we saw that, we kind of changed our reservations around from like the restaurants we really wanted to eat at to the character meals so that she could see more characters.
And it's good, you know, it's great, again, that you were staying club level because it gives you opportunity, because some of those are hard to get, and they seem to have ways to get you in those in certain instances, which is nice. So
yeah.
You guys did Hollywood and Vine. What other ones did you do? Because I think this is a big question for a lot of people. You know, what are some good character dining experiences?
We did Hollywood and Vine. We did 1900 Park there just because it was right there. We actually ate there twice, once with characters, once without. It was good. I mean, the characters were great. The food there was not so awesome, but it was fine. You know, I mean, for a buffet breakfast, it is what it is. We did Ohana. The food there was phenomenal, and the character interactions were really good. Animal Kingdom, we ate at Sanaa, so that didn't have any characters. And then Epcot, we were supposed to eat at... we actually had reservations that night at... I'm trying to think. It wasn't Nine Dragons. We had a lunch reservation at the Beer Garden to go do like the Oompa and all. We thought the kids would love that, but the rain kind of rained that out. So a couple of our reservations kind of got screwed up by the weather. But I think we only took our son into Hollywood and Vine because our daughter, I think, by that point was a little worn out. So she stayed back at the room with my mom, who by that point had done about as much Disney as she was going to do.
I've been there, man.
My mother just is not a big Disney fan, and we tried and tried, and she was glad to see the kids and their faces, but she was very happy to stay back. So we had brought her because she wanted to see the kids, and also so that she could, you know, when our little one was tired, she could take her back to the room and take naps, and then we could go out with our son Owen and let him go ride the rides because he loved riding the rides. And Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was his absolute favorite. If you ask him even to this day what his favorite thing to do at Disney was, it's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Hey, I'm right with
him. And he's four.
Yeah, you know, I'm just a big tall four-year-old, yeah. I guess, because I love that ride. You know, it's got a sweet spot. It's, you know, everybody can enjoy that thing. You know, it's not too scary, but it's just
ride.
Fun. It's. I just wish you didn't have to
wait
so
long. Oh, and we did Be Our Guest also. We did Be Our Guest for breakfast.
So what'd you think of it? I haven't done that one for breakfast. I've done it a bunch of times for dinner and lunch, but what'd you think of the breakfast?
It was good. The food was really good. It's crazy hectic in there. The breakfast is just like crazy. I think it's everyone's like got an early reservation because they're getting in the park early and they're trying to eat as fast as they possibly can so they can get back out and ride some rides. I mean, so we didn't really get to explore the rooms that much. The food though was really, really good. And we did the order ahead. And so it was super smooth. I mean, it was maybe like 5 minutes before we had all of our food and we're sitting at the table.
Can't beat that. Because time,
it was easy.
Yeah, especially on those mornings, man. You're right. That's a good way to put it. Everybody's kind of hectic, and like, I've noticed that, like, especially even at Crystal Palace, you know, when you're in there, like, ooh, I can get pictures before the crowd gets in, and everybody's doing that real quick, and then you sit down and eat, and it is kind of hectic because you're like, man, I can get in front of the crowd. And I think it's, with me, that's kind of like a double-edged sword because, one, I want to get in front of the crowd and be kind of ahead of the game, but also I'm paying a fortune for this character meal, so I want to make sure I'm enjoying it, you know, and not just scarfing down the food and going on to the next thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think next time we probably won't concentrate so much on trying to get those super early reservations because it's just hard to like, enjoy, you know, the time when you actually do get to sit down and, like, sit for a minute.
True. So let me ask you this.
Nice to get ahead of those lines.
Oh, it totally is. Now, let me ask you this about the dining plan, though. One of the things I tell my guests, you know, if you're going to go dining, you know, dining plan, which is, it can be a good deal. It can save you up to 10-15% off paying out of pocket if you use every entitlement. You got to spend every snack credit. You got to use every table service. Were you guys able to do that? Because, again, with the weather, you know, it sounds like your plans got all off kilter. But did you get to use everything up?
We did. In the end, we ended up going to the little shop at the Grand Floridian and buying a ton of Rice Krispie treats and everything else and using our snack credits for those. And they were really great about, you know, like figuring that out. We actually converted some quick service dining credits to snack credits.
Yep, been there. That's how we got souvenirs for everybody. I remember one night we were staying at the Magic Kingdom at the end of the night, and we knew that our credits expired at midnight. The Magic Kingdom was open until 1 in the morning. But, you know, so I'm like, oh, no, we got like 4 snack credits left. So there I was in the confectionery buying 4, you know, those big Rice Krispie treats, and those became, you know, souvenirs for the in-laws, you know. So, hey, we made sure we didn't lose them, because that's how Disney, you know, in air quotes, wins with the dining plan, is if you leave any entitlements on the table, they win, you know, you're paying for it. So you want to get
really great about that. Cause we ended up having to stay an extra night because our flight from Southwest got canceled going out of Orlando. And so we had to, of course, pay for an extra night at the hotel. And, but they were good enough to let our dining plan not expire until the day that we left.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good
rather
touch.
Rather than the day that we were supposed to.
Yeah, it's a good touch. That way, yeah, I like that, because that's fair. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You weren't expecting that.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't use them. I mean, none of the, you know, restaurants were available. And so we were worried. We were like, oh, the night before we're going to have to go, you know, get food, and then we'll just pay for the food that day. And they're like, oh, no, we're going to treat it as though it's part of your total reservation, and your dining credits won't expire until midnight the day you're going to leave now.
Good deal.
So, and that's another thing the concierge was great about, because she helped us get our flights rescheduled, and they helped us get the extra room for the extra night. We were able to stay in the same rooms we were in. So they were, I mean, I think they tried to do everything they could. I know a lot of people had some really bad experiences with it, but it ended up being, you know, I mean, it's okay. I mean, the kids got stuck in the room for a bit, and it's all good in the end.
Yeah, that's how you got to look at it. I mean, we were there, like I said, you know, before we started recording, I was there during Hurricane Charlie back in like 2004. And while we didn't get as much time as we were expecting in the parks, because they did close early and they were closed the next day for part of the day, it's one of those trips where we now look back on it and say, we were there during Hurricane Charlie, you know, and it was just something different. You know, it wasn't perfect, but they did it. You know, everybody there did the best they could. They didn't want a hurricane to go over either, you know, but they did a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Disney absolutely did not want to close the park, but, you know, they did what they thought was right. I will say they opened it the night of the hurricane. They opened Downtown Disney for resort guests only. And I didn't go with my sister and my cousin. Oh, that's the other thing. My cousin ended up flying up halfway through the trip and staying with us for the second half. So her and my sister went to Downtown Disney the night of the hurricane once it passed, and it was packed.
That's what I heard.
I mean, it must have been everybody who had been stuck in the park all day had gone, and so they, you know, went in one or two shops and then got in the bus and came back.
But, I remember seeing those pictures. I was like, oh, that, you know, I could see why, you know, we got to get people out. Let's at least open Disney Springs. Nope. Every person descended on that place at once. Bad idea. Right. Yeah, I remember that.
And that was a good thing, I think, about Grand Floridian. Like, at 2 p.m., they opened the pool, so we took the kids swimming. And then they opened the restaurants, and, you know, slowly things kind of got back to normal. But, you know, I mean, with the staff that they had and what they were able to do, I mean, they really did do a good job. I mean, if you got to be stuck somewhere in a hurricane, you might as well be stuck at Disney, right?
Yeah, I got that right. I'm telling you. It's a bad day at Disney, you know. Still better than most days at home.
Right.
So. That's what I always say. So before we wrap this one up, you know, it sounds like you had a, you know, an unexpectedly nice trip, and it's good that you have such a great attitude and you're just very flexible with your plans. And that's I think what it takes for any kind of a Disney vacation. But any lessons learned that you could pass along to our listeners that maybe you're planning a trip right now, maybe they're heading down this fall, and, you know, let's don't hope a hurricane hits, but you never know. So did you learn anything from this trip?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the toddlers, we definitely learned, like, and everyone told me, don't plan too much, you know, the kids will wear out. And I think we kind of expected that our kids would, like, maybe fall asleep in the strollers, and that just didn't happen. They were just awake and cranky. So definitely, like, plan to go back to the room in the middle of the day. We didn't do that enough, and we really should have. And then once we knew the hurricane was coming, we felt like we had to get so much in. But next time we would definitely, I think, plan, you know, our days a little better and spread it out a little bit more and plan more resort time. Just because the kids are so young and they wear out so quickly.
Such great advice, and so hard to follow when you get down there. I've been there so many times, and I still don't follow that advice, and I know better. Like, I know every time I leave, I'm like, okay, next time we are going back every day. We are not going to be in those parks after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, you know, you get burned every, you know, oh, got to have, you know, we're having a late lunch. It's 1 o'clock. Well, now it's too late to go back. You know, follow Jennifer's advice. She is so right. I'm telling you, you got to be disciplined when you get down there.
I don't follow my own advice.
I'm just telling you, it's great advice. And we appreciate you taking the time to share your story today with us, Jennifer, and hope to catch you in the park sometime, but not during a hurricane.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They have trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans, and more. It's your insurance policy for a great Disney vacation. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. And also check out The Wisdom of Walt over at thewisdomofwalt.com. You need a good read, and Dr. Jeff Barnes has the book for you. Get inspired, improve your life, and just read a little bit about Disneyland and Walt Disney today. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast for great Disney talk all day, every day. And also check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24/7 right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Don't forget, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and we love every time you download the Be Our Guest podcast or stream it or however you listen to the show. Maybe you're listening today on your Amazon Echo or your Google Home. That's a great way to listen as well. So thanks again. Enjoy your Valentine's Day tomorrow, and we'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So for Jennifer, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.